Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, this is a Sunday that I really am excited for, and I mentioned earlier that I get excited about this Sunday more so than I think anybody else here at North Star does. I think everybody else is like, this is a Sunday that you can skip. It's Jeff's little Sunday. He likes talking about where we've been and where we're going and things like that. But I think it is vitally important for us to remember our history. I think it's important for you to remember your own life history, to reflect on where God has had you, where he's brought you, and to think about where he may be leading you. And that's what we get to do collectively as a church over the next few moments. And I told the first service that I have really been stressed about today's message. I don't get typically stressed. I do have like the butterflies every time I get up to speak and preach. It doesn't matter how many times I do, because I get out there and I'm like, they came back. This is really strange. But I put so much pressure, I think, on myself for a Sunday like this so that you'll come in and it's like I'm trying to convince you this is really a great thing to do, state of the church. And so I put so much pressure on myself to like, okay, this has got to be significant. It's got to wow them. They've got to go, man, those are really pretty graphs up there on the screen. And it just realizes that it's just a weak attempt to impress. And it's one of those realizations that the more pressure I put on myself, I have to ask the question again, is am I trying to make North Star look good? Am I trying to look good myself? Because if that's the case, it's just empty and it's really meaningless. Because what our mission is our mission is to make much of Jesus Christ. And so I have to remind myself after kind of stressfulness and prep and all this kind of stuff that ultimately this message must land in Jesus Christ. He is why we're here. He is who he is. He is the creator. He is the salvation giver. He's a way maker, as we sang a minute ago. And so if we don't make much of Jesus today, there's no point in us really being here. But also as we gather and we talk about where we're going as a church, where we've been as a church, it's really important for those of you who are here today and you're not members of North Star, for us to understand, for you to understand that we truly don't like crowds. We got a couple services. We've been experiencing growth. We're in the middle of a building campaign that you'll hear about in a few moments, but we don't like crowds. That's why we want to cultivate a family environment at North Star. And because of that, we really want to encourage those of you who would say, this is where I attend on Sundays. We deeply want to encourage you to jump in with both feet, to consider belonging to this church so that it becomes not just the church that you go to, but it becomes your people, that you invest in getting to know people, that you invest in serving with people here. There are so many really good Christ-centered churches in the New River Valley. And you could visit a different church every Sunday and receive great messages and great worship. And you could bop between all these different churches and have a great church shopping experience. But we want to encourage you to be the church and not just go to church. We want to encourage you, if you sense that God's presence is here in the midst of this group of people, we want to invite you into membership with us, into belonging, into making a commitment to this body of Christ while you're in Blacksburg, whether it's 6 more months or 6 more years. We want to invite you to unite with us in membership and mission so that we can get to know you and love you, and you love us, and we do this Christ mission together. So back in 2003, there was no North Star Church in Blacksburg. And Bob and Sandra Jackson were motivated by the Lord to begin gathering a small group, and I think it was in January of 2003, 16 years ago this month, that they began meeting in small groups. And sometime later that year, they began meeting for corporate worship. And then this building was opened in 2003. Blacksburg Middle School was built and opened and launched. And so North Star began meeting in this building 16 years ago. That's 52 Sundays every year, set up, tear down, turning a middle school into a house of worship. That's a long time. We could not be more excited with where we are today of our concrete footers being poured a mile down the road and metal about to be going up on our land, because we are thrilled about finally reaching this point of seeing our first ministry center. And so you'll hear a little bit about that this morning. But foundationally, where we've been, especially over the past year, is that this time last year at our State of the Church Sunday in 2019, I issued an invitation and a challenge to our church members. And I invited every single church member, we had 236 back at that time, to engage with a six-week discipleship initiative where I wanted to communicate to every member through the material and the leaders that I helped train four things. I wanted to communicate the importance of an intimate love relationship with Jesus Christ, how important it is for each of us as members of North Star to know God and to enjoy God, and to discover, surprise, surprise, how much God enjoys us. He made us. He loves us. He sent His Son to die for us. And so I wanted to lay a foundation for every member of North Star that an intimate love relationship with Jesus Christ is the most important foundational concept you can understand and enjoy as a follower of Him. And the second thing was to understand the grave and joyful importance of humility. Is that when we understand all that God has done for us and what we cannot do for ourselves, and we discover that He has done everything for us in Jesus, it brings upon us this refreshing sense of humility that we can simply enjoy and trust our Father. And then from these two things, from intimacy and from humility, we taught in Discipleship Initiative the importance of obedience, that obedience flows from love. And so we looked at how if we're not adjusting our lives and our attitudes to God's will as it's revealed in Scripture, then we can claim to follow God, but we're really not following Him if we're not practicing progressive growth and obedience in our life. And then finally, that God brings influence. And so this discipleship initiative has been significant for us this past year. In the middle of all that, like I mentioned, we've had this ministry center being built, and we've encountered delay after delay after delay. But with the concrete footers being poured, we're excited about beginning to see things come up out of the ground soon. And then we've been experiencing growth as a church, not just numerically, but depth and in leadership as God continues to raise up leaders, and we're seeing new ministries launch. You might have seen the men's ministry table as you walked in today. We've had two of our guys step up and say, we want to help facilitate ministry to men through North Star. And so this coming Saturday morning, there's a men's breakfast that if you're a guy, we want to invite you to participate in and to come to at the Lion Room in Christiansburg. And we have a community outreach team forming, and we have a care team. And then our small group leaders, over 20 of them, week in and week out, are shepherding our congregation in small groups all over the New River Valley. And so as I think about where God has brought us, I worked hard on trying to figure out what Scripture seems to apply most for where we are, where we're going, and what God may call us to be. And we're about to launch this series in Galatians, and you can see the image behind me on the screen. Next week we'll start with this study, but it's entitled Galatians, Pleasing God in a Pleasure-Filled World, Gospel Matters. And I've been saturated in Galatians for several weeks now. And honestly, I can't wait to get to this verse, and so I'm going to steal it from later in the study, and I'm going to use it as our 2020 focus. So in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, it'll be on the screen behind me. You can also look at it on your device or in your Bible. But I'm reading from the ESV version, and Galatians 1:10 says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." And so the reality of this verse is Paul's writing to the church of Galatia, and I can't wait to dive in into this study, but essentially what Paul is saying is that we cannot please man and please God simultaneously, which makes things really sticky for us. Because we are all pleasers by nature. In fact, as I started looking up people pleaser and started trying to understand what does our society define a people pleaser as, Psychology Today had an article on it, and they said a people pleaser, it stems from the eagerness to please other people, and it's identified as a self-worth issue. People hope that saying yes to everything asked of them will help them feel accepted and liked. And then it gave 10 things that might indicate that you are a people pleaser. And it says, number one is you pretend to agree with everyone. Number two, you feel responsible for how other people feel. You apologize often. You feel burdened by the things you have to do. You can't say no. You feel uncomfortable if someone is angry at you. You act like the people around you. You need praise to feel good. You go to great lengths to avoid conflict. You don't admit when your feelings are hurt. So we have this struggle in our life that we want to please people, and it's kind of revealed even in the digital format of pleasing people through our Instagram accounts and our social media accounts and the images that we carefully cultivate, the reputations that we want to represent to our world. And it's in a sense we're trying to gather people's approval of us because we're so thirsty for other people's approval. We want to please them, and we also want to please ourselves, like please our own desires. And yet Paul reminds us, he's saying, if I am still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. We can't serve Christ and attempt to live a people-pleasing lifestyle. We can't serve Christ and attempt to live a life that just solely pleases ourselves. So in 2020, as I began thinking, what does it mean? I know a lot of organizations and ministries and churches are seizing on the year 2020. Like, let's have 2020 vision. You know, let's have a big scoping thing. And I was like, I'd love to do that as a church. But it really comes down to the reality that next January, it'll be 2021. I got to come up with something new again. It's just too stressful. And so I began thinking, what's the anchor for us other than like this 2020 vision thingy? And I just realized that it's so important just for us to become pleasers of God. In 2020, to reorient our hearts yet again to this, the simplicity of the gospel that God made me and God made you to be dependent. Now, that's difficult to sync with our culture, isn't it? Because we're Americans, and one of our high and holy holidays is on July 4th. And what do we call July 4th? Independence Day. Well, heck yeah, we're independent. We don't need anybody. And well, there's a problem with that, because the very thing that our culture would say that we are is the very thing that God would say that we're not. And God has this marvelous sense of creativity and a sense of humor, because when I was born, I had no role whatsoever in the first 0 to 12 months of my life and beyond. I could not feed myself. I could not clothe myself. I couldn't provide shelter for myself. I couldn't provide family for myself. And that's the truth for all of us. From the moment we're born, it's a visual analogy and reminder that God created you to be dependent. And a lot of you showed up this morning. You look great. You dressed yourself. Your clothes are in fashion. You bought jeans with holes in them. And I still can't figure out why you pay more for less fabric. So I don't get that. But we show up and we look at ourselves and we think we're now independent people. I fixed myself my own supper last night. But in reality, we are still just as dependent as we were when we were born. If we were to suck the oxygen out of this room right now, every one of us would pass out and then die quickly. We don't think about the fact that we are dependent on external reality for our being. Scriptures even say that Jesus is the creator and the sustainer of all of life. And yet we think that our money is ours, our bodies are ours, our talents are ours, our intellect is ours. We are dependent. And so if we're dependent, then we were also created to please. We're pleasers by nature. It's how we're wired. You're going to please somebody. You're going to want to please somebody, but you were created to please the God who made you. You might say, I want to grow in my pleasing God this year. I want to learn how not to be driven to please people. What does that mean? What would it mean for you? What would it mean for you if this morning you were to make a foundational commitment in your life that you're not going to live to please other people this year? You want to know the very first thing that's going to happen? You will have less anxiety. You have less emotional turmoil. You'll have less stress. And you'll have more joy, because you'll discover progressively that you are content when you're not trying to meet the expectations of other people in your life, when you're living only to please the God who loves you and made you. And he loves you so much that he sent Jesus to die for your sins. You have less anxiety, you have less pressure, you'll have a newfound freedom. You'll discover that focusing on pleasing God will give you such joy, such energy, such clarity of mind and identity. When you begin to live to please the God who made you and designed you to please him, your life becomes in sync with who you were created to be. You're no longer swimming upstream seeking to please yourself and your fleeting pleasures and seeking to please other people. Suddenly, you're completely free to be the person that God made you to be and to enjoy his fellowship and his love forever. And it liberates you to live to please God. And so Paul writes to these Galatians and he's saying, am I trying to win the approval of men? Because if I'm trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ, because pleasing people is a full-time occupation. It doesn't just happen at work or in class or in home. It happens all the time. When you pick up your phone, you're still seeking to please people by what you post, how you represent yourself. When we unhealthily attempt to please others or even to please ourselves, we focus on doing for them and doing for ourselves rather than enjoying the simplicity and the beauty of pleasing God. Our culture is reaping what we have sown into it with this thoughtless use of technology and promoting and pursuing image, status, health, and wealth. Because apart from God, all these things are soul killers. You just look at the numbers. You look at the scientific research. We are more anxious than we've ever been before as a culture. We're lonelier than we've ever been before of a culture. And anxiety is one of the number one reasons for all kinds of other mental illnesses in our culture. We're depressed, we're partisan, we're angry. All the things that promised us connection and status and satisfaction and energy and comfort and long life have betrayed us. We have sown to our flesh and we have reaped death. We've done all this in an attempt to please ourselves and others. And so how do we please God? Well, Hebrews 11:6 is this really succinct statement. It amplifies what Paul tells the Galatians. But in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. God is not pleased with you because you try really hard. God is not pleased with you because you make these New Year resolutions to give more, to be more, to do more, to serve more. God is most pleased with you when you are most in love with him. It's this beautiful reality that he invites you into a love relationship with him, to depend upon him. And he is pleased when you demonstrate trust and faith in him. When you live your life in dependence upon him. And so pleasing God this year means learning to enjoy him, learning to trust him, learning to grow and wonder before him. Isn't that a great word, wonder? I think we're such a snarky society that we have lost our wonder, lost the ability to be awed before a sovereign God who came as a baby and died as a man for my sin and for your sin. The wonder. Pleasing God also means, as a church, as North Star, pleasing God means that we must recognize how grateful we are for all that he's done for this church in the past 16 years, and especially this past year. Let me share with you real briefly just a few images on the screen that kind of highlights where God has had us, how we can become more pleased with God by being grateful for what he's done. We have just come through this discipleship initiative, and on the screen behind me, you can see that we started with 236 members, and as of the end of December, 188 members had completed the discipleship initiative. So this past year, 80% of the members of our church walked through this foundational 6 weeks where they learned intimacy with Jesus, humility before God, obedience, and influence. We are so excited about where we're going next. We're so excited about how God is going to continue with our new members to lead them through the discipleship initiative. I'll tell you more about that in just a moment. Also this past year, our Measurably More Rooted campaign. And we finally saw traction on the land. We finally got our permits in. You might remember last January, we were like stressing because we couldn't get permits. And so our permits came in. They've begun pouring concrete. They'll start putting metal up on the building. And so you know as soon as that roof gets up and they pour the pad, things just kind of roll from there. And it's a surreal place to be as a church, but it's especially surreal when we look at how much you have given over the past 7 years. We began looking for land 7 years ago because we didn't have any. We had no idea where the future home of North Star would be. But over the past 7 years, you can see on the screen, given to date, you, through the generosity and the provision of God, have given $3.7 million. Yeah, that's amazing. It is amazing. Because if you look around at the 11 o'clock service, there's a few of you over 40. And the 9 o'clock service is where a lot of our families come because of childcare and full children's ministry. But still, we hired a Christian fundraising company to come in and help us organize the campaign. And they did an assessment of our giving. And they said, you should not expect to raise over $1 million. And we were like, oh, daggum. And so we fired them. We did it graciously, but we didn't feel like they got us, and we didn't feel like they understood what we were trusting God for. And to date, God, through you, has given $3.7 million. And so where we're going from here, you can see the next slide. It shows the historical giving. But this past year, you gave $496,000 to the Immeasurably More campaign. We have $2.2 million in the bank. The total cost of the project is going to be $6.5. And when you drop out the cost of the land, what we're asking God for before we move in faith, is we're asking God to provide $3.5 million this year. He's provided 3.7 through you in 7 years, and you would say, well, I think we need another 7 years. But we're really just asking Him in prayer, in humility before Him, if He would provide what we need so that we can move into that building without debt payments, and that we can roll forward in ministry. And so we're inviting you to pray with us. And one of the astonishing things that He's doing, even while you gave $496,000 last year, in addition to that, last month in December, we had our holiday missions offering. In 2018, you gave $8,600. But if you were here in December, you know the cool story of what God did through you in December. Above $496,000 in 1 month for the cause of missions, God gave to this church, through this church, through you, $21,822 in a month for missions. We were astonished and we were overjoyed. In addition to that, you're like, really, more? Yeah, more. So you know that we have to pay rent here. We pay rent at our offices. We were paying rent on the reserve downtown. We have a staff. We have college ministry, children's ministry, youth ministry, so on and so forth. We've gone to Senegal last year. We have gone to Istanbul. You know that ministry costs money, and so we have this thing called an operating budget, a ministry budget, a regular budget. So over the past 4 years, this is what God has done. If you look at this graph, top left, our budget in 2016 was $590,000. Now, look, follow that all the way over. In that year, God brought in $214,000 over that. We were stunned. And then you can see our budgets progressively over the last 3 years. This past year, bottom left, our budget was $723,000. But if you follow that over, you see those pink boxes? The last 3 years, we have spent more than we have received doing ministry and accomplishing God's purposes for North Star. We've been able to do that because of the top right box. Because in 2016, we received so much over our budget. But in 2020, we are doing a ministry tightening of belts, so to speak, as we want to be very wise, and we don't want to be chintzy, but we want to be good stewards of what you give so that the discrepancy between what we spend and what we receive catches up with one another. But when you look at this, the reality of this is that in on top of $496,000 for the Immeasurably More campaign, on top of $22,000 for missions, last year, you gave another $683,000. It's remarkable. Those of you who are college students and you're sitting here going, wow, I want to be a part of a church like this. A church where God is calling his people to generous giving. And before you adults sit out here and think, yeah, we're supporting those college students, some of our college students are outgiving our families. And it's not because the college students are dropping in $20 here and $20 there. Some of our college students, I feel like, won the lottery somewhere. I'm a little suspicious, but some of our college students, you have learned the discipline of generous giving, and it is humbling to us to see your faithfulness. And we thank you. So in the middle of God's just amazing generosity being poured out on us, you might be aware, but 30 miles from here, we have another North Star church that we planted in 2011, North Star Pulaski. You can see what God's been doing there. In 2013, they had an average of 47 people in their weekly worship, but last year, they had an average of 105. Dave texted me last week, and he said, already in 2020, they're running about 120 each week in worship. It is amazing what God is doing. And then just in baptisms, in the past 9 years, we've baptized 196 people at North Star, representing obedience, representing salvation. And I'm excited to tell you that right now, today, we have 5 people who are going to be baptized in the next few weeks. It's so exciting what God is doing. So as we transition back and as we prepare to wrap up this morning, God has done great things among us. He has been so good. And so the reality of this is, of course, we would want to live to please him. We don't want to live to get the approval of others. We don't want to make much of North Star. We don't want to make much of our people or our staff. We want to live to please this God who has been so good to us. And so here are 5 quick things that 2020 will mean for you and for me. The first thing is simply this: growing deeper in spiritual maturity. In Colossians 1:28, it says that we proclaim Jesus, warning and admonishing everyone so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Is we've been very diligent about discipleship this past year, discipling all of our members. We will continue that initiative in 2020, but we're also going to be inviting you to be participating in small groups and discipling relationships. We want to teach you what it means to meet with other people and encourage them to intentionally grow in their affections for Jesus. Second thing it means for 2020 is we want to embrace ministry and not activity, humility and not facility. What we mean by that is that it'd be very easy to get lost in men's ministry, women's ministry, youth ministry, college ministry, Gap ministry, Grand Connect ministry. It'd be so easy with all of these ministries and activities and all these events and things that are going on. It'd be so easy for us just to meet ourselves coming and going, being where we're supposed to be for different meetings and such. But ministry actually means service. And so we want to remind ourselves that no matter how active we are, we genuinely want to serve you and we want to serve our community and serve our world. And humility, not facility, just simply means there will be a day that we're meeting in a really beautiful building. But we always want to remember where we came from, who we are, and what our mission is to be his church. It's not to have a building. It's going to be a great tool, but that's what it will be. It will be a tool to help us be the church. Thirdly, in 2020, we're going to be encouraging our members to be gospelers, to learn how to share their faith story with their family, their friends, our community, to be able to share the gospel of Christ with those who don't know Jesus, whether it's locally or globally. We'll be taking teams back to Istanbul. We'll be taking teams to Senegal. We'll be taking teams in other places. Some of you are going to go with your campus ministries or individually. But we want to be gospeling in 2020, and we want to equip and encourage you to do so. And fourthly, we want to communicate the power of again in 2020. You may say, what in the world does again mean? Well, there's a dailiness about following Jesus. The New Testament says, take up your cross daily and follow him. It means that every day we wake up and we do it again. We trust him again. We love him all over again. We seek to please him again and again. We trust again. We give again. We go again. We tell again. We be again. By the hair of our chinny chin chin, we do the agains. We want to be daily, and we want to be dependent upon Jesus. And lastly, finally and fully, I told you this is where I wanted to land it, and this is where I want to land it. It's just Jesus. Paul said, am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. And I love what Paul told the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 5:9. He says, therefore, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to be pleasing to him. How do we trust God in 2020? How do we please God in 2020? We demonstrate faith. We demonstrate faith, simple faith. We confess all over again our dependence upon him for our life. And we live in joyful gratitude to him.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.